This is Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing. And I am back with my next guest, Diane Bergner. And the name of her book is Royal Coconut Beach Lunch Club. Hi, Diane.
Hi, Patsy. How are you today?
Okay, fine. Well, I don't know if you managed to hear a little bit. My guest just before you was somebody that you thanked in your book, Susan Shapiro Barash.
Of course. I know Susan well.
Yes. So it was such a... It was so funny that I would have both of you on today, and I didn't know that you had thanked her until I looked at the back of your book and realized... Anyway, she sends her love.
I'll call her later. Thank you, Patsy. Thanks for telling. Yeah, that's great.
She said that you've got an event together in July, so...
Yes.
And she had she had lots of nice things to say about you.
Same. And she's been just a driving force with my own writing, and I'm grateful. I call her the fairy godmother of the literary world, so...
Well, it was so nice. So I'm holding up your book. I'm also on the camera here. So I'm holding up your book nice and pink. And Royal Coconut Beach Lunch Club. Woo! That's nice.
Yes. And I know you can't see me, but I am dressed all in pink today in honor of this conversation.
So. Oh. Well, I'm sure that you look beautiful. And... I was just talking, you know, about for people who haven't been to Palm Beach and haven't been down there, it's a different world.
Oh, it completely is a different world. And as a fundraiser for 24 years, dealing with, you know, a certain demographic, the uber wealthy, people always say, oh, you must have stories to write. And I always joke around and say, well, you'd have to pay me $1 million not to write the stories. But the reality is I did write a novel, and the novel is completely fiction and isn't based on anything other than shining a light on the profession of fundraising. So,
okay, well, you do shine a very, very bright light on that. Now, you know, I'm here in Clearwater, Florida. So, you know, people think, well, when you're in Florida, you have this kind of existence. But down there in Palm Beach area, that area, it is different. Nothing quite like it up in our end of the world.
Right. And the West Coast is equally beautiful, but in very different ways. You know, the palm trees are the same, and the sun is the same, and the beaches. But the people, Palm Beach is a special place. And I've had a magnificent career. I still do, actually, at the Kravis Center for the Performing Arts, raising money. And I've had, actually, the privilege of knowing some very fine people. So...
Yeah,
I consider myself lucky.
Well, you know, I hope that it's sort of like when Peyton Place came out, everybody in those towns was trying to find out if they're in the book. So I'm sure you have some of your friends who are going through.
Absolutely.
And of course, well, you can tell us about your main character, which is, of course, it's not based 100% on you. And when we get to the Brazilian, we'll say that you don't have a Brazilian in your life, we hope.
No, and actually it's Argentinian in the novel, and I don't have an Argentinian. So.
Well, I
have a lovely husband, and I've been married for 42 years, happily. So there you have it.
Yeah, sorry about that, Argentina.
No, that's okay.
I'm Argentinian, Brazilian. When they're that gorgeous, who cares where they come from?
Gorgeous South American gentleman, debonair billionaire, who pursues the main character, Julia Wilde.
You know, when they're a billionaire, you don't really care.
Oh, you were funny.
So, but let's talk about, I mean, fundraising is lovely. I think it's wonderful. I like fundraising. Now, I've done it on a small scale, but mm-hmm. nothing at all like this. So tell us about this organization and about the whole Royal Coconut Beach social season.
Okay. Well, should I talk about the character first?
Yeah, sure. Let's get to know her.
Sure. Well, Julia Wild was an attorney, and she gets this opportunity to work at the Addison Center, which is a performing arts center on the other side of the bridge from a town called Royal Coconut Beach. And she is just so excited about this new opportunity. She's never had experience. And what happens is, you know, the schedule is just brutal. She's there in the evenings, late at night. She's got to be in the office early. And a few months into the job, she is on a yacht. And the woman who owns the yacht tells her to go below the deck and please get the servers and tell them to bring up more food. Of course, she thinks, oh, boy, now, you know, she really is the help. And here she is, a smart woman, but she goes below the deck and she stumbles upon her boss, Christy, having a sordid affair with a very wealthy donor and influential, powerful man in town. Of course, it's a man. And, you know, and now she understands why Christy barely comes to work and gets away with everything. But Julia also thinks, what did I get myself into? Is that what I have to do to get donations? right? And, you know, other things happen. A check goes missing, and she knows she put it in her drawer. So she kind of starts to understand somebody's really trying to sabotage her, but who and why? And she doubts, you know, that she even made the right career decision. But eventually she gets hooked on the elite social circles that she gets involved in, and it becomes very alluring to just be a fundraiser, and she's getting new gifts the right way, not sleeping with somebody. And she gets addicted to her job, but she also gets drawn into the world deeper and deeper. Enter the Argentinian billionaire who pursues her. And then reality and fantasy sort of blur together, like the grass is always greener. And she thinks her own marriage, you know, is not so good.
And she's married to somebody that she met in college.
She's married to somebody you met in college who's, you know, changes his behavior too. He becomes very dismissive of her, and she gets very hurt, and she thinks he's having an affair with he's an attorney, with his beautiful young associate. She spies on them, and, you know, she doesn't know which end is up anyway.
Yeah, so sometimes we don't want to know, particularly if it involves Kama Sutra. We don't want to know which end is up.
Right. But, no, we don't, but she, you know, tests the waters, yeah. And it almost gives her validity
Yeah, there's a lot going on in this book. There's a lot going mm-hmm. on in the dynamics of first of all, of course, of being a married woman and meeting all these people. And then, although, you know, for even, you know, sort of rich lawyers, this social life of the uber rich is different.
Completely. That, Patsy, that's so well put. That's exactly it. Here she is leading a normal professional life. Both her and her husband, you know, are earning a very lovely income. But, you know, it's always, you know, nothing. When you start measuring it against other people who she's meeting, you know, the grass is always greener, really. You know, it's just, you can't compare, and you shouldn't be comparing. So, but she gets sucked up in all that. But there's the plus side. She meets some wonderful, smart, strong-willed women who deal with the same people, and they're all professional. Two are high-stakes matrimonial lawyers, so they handle divorces and prenups for some of the people Julia knows. And then there's Elise, who's a wealthy decorator, but, you know, works all the time as well. So they kind of give her the reality checks as only good gal pals could do, right? So there's the lunch club.
So that's the lunch club because
that's the lunch club.
Yeah, you need an I can see going out to lunch with them. Well, what a challenge that would be. People, you know, that kind of society, they judge you so quickly just by what you're wearing. It's, well, of course, now your part, I don't know that you're the Uber part yet. Maybe you will be the Uber part.
if the book sells. No, I'm kidding. You know what? Yeah. There's something to be said about being very grounded. And when you're in this social milieu, you're even more grounded, yeah. Person, you know, because you, yes.
Yeah, it is so funny. These people, and when I say these people, I mean these really uber rich people, and their kids. It's their kids sometimes surprise me. I was involved actually in meeting an uber rich donor for an organization that I belong to. And this uber rich person, actually their home was shown in a film, famous film. And no, of course I was invited because we were arranging a luncheon to honor this very uber rich person. And I never forget this. So I wear my best clothes to go to this uber rich person's home.
Right.
And, you know, I thought I looked okay, you know, and my clothes were relatively, you know, they were from, I don't know, Nordstrom's, I think, and my outfit. And
I'm sure you looked absolutely lovely.
And then this, and one of the boys looked at me, and obviously my purse was okay. It was a designer purse, and it was actually a gift my son had bought me, and it was a real designer bag. I didn't say it, but I mean, I was really, you know, of course you got it on sale, but still.
You spent all this money on me. You spent all this money on me.
But this little kid, I mean, he was like 8 or 9.
Mm-hmm.
He bent down, looked at my shoes, and he said, "They're not real."
My goodness.
And I thought, honey, you're lucky. I, you know, I'm a kickboxer. I could have kicked you right in that jaw, you little brat.
Well, that's just terrible that they're not bringing up this child with manners anyway, but that's a whole warped sense of everything,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. But they are able to tell exactly where you bought something.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, it's a discerning eye, and honestly, I mean, from a personal perspective, you know, what I do for a living, I did have to change my wardrobe, make it a little more zippy, because you do want to, I don't want to say fit in, I don't mean fit in, but as a professional, you want to play the professional role, and you're not going to not look great in front of people who are judgmental, and they're not going to want to get to know you. And quite frankly, fundraising is a relationship-driven business. So they're not going to want to deal with a slob. Not that I was ever a slob,
but I'm talking about elevating a little bit.
They
do. They know exactly. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because many of them do actually come from poor backgrounds when they start off in life. But then when they get rich, they have this... you know, like there's some magic dust is sprinkled over them that they can then tell you exactly how much you paid for a T-shirt. So
right, the pixie dust effect. That's what I call it. So it's funny you use that term of art, but yes, exactly. So, but that's all just stuff anyway. That's all material things, and that really is, you know, one of the themes of the book is morals and integrity and you know, those kinds of concepts and ideas, and how does Julia, you know, come to terms with all that, and what are her own true morals and values? Because, like you said, her husband and her make a nice living, but they're not those people.
Yeah.
So
it's you have to navigate yourself, as you said. You have to just be able to fit in enough so that you can navigate around them and get their trust and get their, because you in the end, actually, you want to get their money. So.
Right. But it goes a lot deeper. It's not just transactional, honestly, in real life. It's not just about getting the money. It's wanting them to care about enough to make an impact. And that's real not-for-profit, you know, world, and make an impact to the community, to the organization, as you know from your fundraising experience. So,
well, it's going to be fun now for you when you are raising money. Now the people, these people are going to say, "Oh, can we have your autograph?"
Which I actually, yes, and you know, I'm because I still work at the Kravis Center and love what I do. I had a couple of board members read my book. They loved it, by the way. And people are guessing who's who, and it really is not anybody in the story. I actually had a boss who was terrific. You know, nobody was with one of the donors. All of it is made up, and that's the beauty of writing fiction.
Yeah.
You write about something you know, but then you get creative license to do whatever you want and make it fictional and just dream up stories. I mean, there's one bad character who's modeled after nobody, and I didn't like him as I was writing, and I was going to get rid of him, and instead of getting rid of him, I made him even a worse villain. So that's the fun of the writing. So, you know, the premise is real. I mean, it is a wealthy town called Royal Coconut Beach, and yes, it is, the premise is Palm Beach, as you said in your introduction, but it's all an imaginary world that happens there.
Exactly.
If that makes sense.
Exactly. And then when they pick it up and make a film out of it, then you'll be get your own yacht.
Well, from your mouth to God's ears, but I'm very happy not having a yacht. You know what? This is a sidebar, but as I get older, less is more. Don't you believe that? I do.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But so.
I think it's having this joy of writing that makes everything so wonderful. Because once you start writing, and this is your first book, right?
Yes, it's my first novel.
My goodness. So you got the talent, and as we say, you got the chops for it, and you really carry it off very well, tell a wonderful story, and then well, you know, it's always nice. Nowadays, of course, they don't do that, what they used to do, put hunky guys on the covers to sell books to women. I guess it's enough that I think that we're not allowed to do that anymore.
So, I probably not. I mean, I think, to me, the pink with the little white palm
pink
tree.
With the white palm tree shows an elegance, unlike if we had the Argentinian without his shirt on.
Right.
They could put that in the middle of the book. They could put it
on his horse named Conquistador. Don't forget that.
Oh, my God. Oh. You know, they really maybe should have thought of putting, you know, right in the center. Because as you're sitting by the pool, you might want to see the image of him.
Fantasy is wonderful.
Imagine it, people. And the name of the book is Royal Coconut Beach Lunch Club, and it's by Diane Bergner. And Diane, you have a website?
I do have a website. I am just starting to fill it, but it's my name, dianebergner.com. And the book is also available on Amazon and other online retailers. And if anybody happens to be in Palm Beach, it's also available at the Classic Bookshop. I always support the local independents. So.
Okay, that's perfect. Well, it was fun talking to you. I know you'll be back because I'm sure you're writing a second book already.
I certainly am. Get ready.
I know. Once you find the joy, you can't stop. Anyway.
And I love, by the way, the title, Joy on Paper. Love it.
Because so. It is a joy for the writer to put something on paper, and then it's a joy for the reader to read that paper, and they'll have lots of fun reading your book and imagining.
Well,
okay.
Thank you so much, Patsy, and have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye now.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.